You're listening to MMO Radio, the podcast where online and tabletop gamers meet and compete for your attention. Brought to you by Epic Slant Press. This episode was recorded on Sunday, February 17th, 2013. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of MMO Radio. I am Dr. Classy, and Adam is out this weekend getting married. I am pleased to introduce Chris Sirik Koch.
Thank you, Dr. Classy, and welcome everybody to the show. I'm Chris Sirik Koch, and guess what? Adam abandoned us, everybody. We should all be very angry. He had to go and get married. Like, priorities. But you know what? We have somebody here to fill his place. You guys know him. You guys love him. Everybody, welcome back. Gavin to the show. Hi, Gavin.
Hey, buddy. Nice to be back and single, so I don't have that problem.
The kid tells me he's going to get married. I call him a kid. He's in his 30s. He tells me he's going to go and get married. I'm like, Adam, we have a podcast to do. And apparently, he considered actually coming on the show today. But in all seriousness, I told my wife, and I was like, you tell him from a woman and a wife, he had better not be on that show the day after his wedding. So he took our advice, and hopefully he's doing well. He sent me a text yesterday and saying he was a married man. So congratulations to our friend Adam.
Yes.
And Kristen Aurelis. They're a very cute couple, and we wish them the best. But it's me and you here. We're going to have some male bonding time, Gavin.
Oh, great.
Okay. So shirts are off. Oils are out. Tell me, how are you? What are you up to, man?
I'm good. I'm not really up to too much right now in terms of games. I'm pretty bogged down with schoolwork and stuff, but I am getting an occasional time into some PlanetSide 2, Terra, and Guild Wars 2, although not as much as I'm playing single-player games. I'm having a real story craving right now, and it's just more powerful in things like Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
Yeah, I've been very conflicted. Have you heard they announced The Witcher 3?
I have, yeah.
I got Game Informer magazine, and I was reading through their article, and it sounds pretty awesome. Like, they're taking all the good ideas from Witcher 2 and bringing in, like, these Skyrim concepts. So it got me wanting to play Witcher 2 again, because I never quite beat that game. So now I'm like where you are. Like, I want good story, but now I have like four different games to play that all have good stories. And I sit down and I play one, and I'm like, but I'm missing out on this other thing. So I'm very conflicted.
Yeah.
When it comes to this stuff. That ever happened to you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the major thing for me right now is, I think the best MMO out right now is Guild Wars 2, and because there's no sub fee there, I don't feel pressure to... I mean, it's a game that I can walk away from, and I know I'm not hurting myself, I guess, in a sense, or hurting my pocketbook. And so it's been nice having that be my primary MMO, so I can take a break and enjoy some other games that are out there, something that I think MMO fans like ourselves forget to do every now and then. So
yeah,
it's been nice. But I'm looking forward to getting into some of the new stuff later this year that's coming out.
Yeah.
Tesso and our topic MMO today.
I have to apologize to you because I'm sitting here listening to you talk about games and your experience and your perspective kind of shows through. So to remind everybody, you're Gavin Townsley. You freelance for Massively, interned at PC Gamer. You are a well-rounded man.
I like to think of myself as well-rounded, but I am definitely an MMO guy. That's always what I've focused on writing. I mean, I cover other stuff like MOBAs and things, but and shooters for sure, which are another passion of mine. But MMOs are my thing, so you'll find me on random sites here and there.
Well, you're on the right show if you like MMOs.
Yes.
But we have to get a little bit of business done, and then we're going to crack into our main topic, Wildstar. I wanted to give a big shout out to Sawbuzz and thank him for his 5-star review on iTunes. We forgot to do that last week, so sorry, Sawbuzz, but we really do appreciate it. And I want to take a minute to remind everybody that we do have a contest going on for iTunes reviews at the moment. Hey, Gavin, have you played Strike Suit Zero?
You know, I have not.
It's one of these Kickstarter success stories, almost kind of almost like a space flight sim, except you can transform into a mech, and you know, it's like a 6 degrees of freedom kind of game, up, mm-hmm. down, left, right, all that stuff. Really kind of cool. So for we have 1 more week left in the contest. Anybody that goes out, leave us a 5-star review, you're entered to win this. Just make sure it's written so that we have a name to attach and we can let you know when you've actually won. So this is courtesy of hookedgamers.com. They're kind enough to donate that, so thank you, and please visit them when you get the chance. So, the news, the business is done. Get that right off the table here. Mr. Gavin, what do you say we get into our main topic, which is WildStar. You know WildStar?
Yeah, I know what WildStar.
WildStar. It's this sexy new country music video. It's by Tim McGraw. You know, like, since we started this show with oils and no shirts, I figure we'll go back there.
But no, in space.
In space. Yes. Yeah. So like Firefly, but country music and sad dogs and beer tears, all that kind of stuff. But it's this new MMO from Carbine Studios. Looks really neat, kind of cartoony sci-fi, but it looks promising. And more than that, it looks unique. But we're bringing it up now because we've known about this for a while. We're bringing it up now because they just announced that this game is going to come out this year. Mm-hmm. So they say. And it's about the most promising thing other than the Elder Scrolls Online. So a lot of people are kind of worked up about it. And I know you've looked into it. I've looked into it this week. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhat of an exciting time. I mean, I thought for a little bit after Guild Wars, like, we were going to have a dearth. And this is kind of stepping up to fill that void. So let me just set it up, like, what this game, the premise is. Because you're going to be in outer space. There's going to be the Holy Trinity, I believe, and I think you know a little more about that than I do. But this is the piece of lore I pulled out. Adventurers go to the planet Nexus, which is a world that was formerly inhabited by these people called the Eldan, a technologically advanced race that mysteriously disappeared. So when you go down to this planet as the player, it's going to be your job to kind of solve this mystery. And it's a two-faction game, so I think you can explore it and figure it out yourself. Or you can play the role of the Dominion, which, to be honest, I'm not sure how that's gonna play in, because you can play Dominion. The other faction, I'm not so sure about. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe they face off because there's a PvP element. I don't know. I mean, do you know anything about?
You know, I'm, well, I know a little bit about it, but I think they're similar. Like the Exile is, I think, the good side. That's coming to the planet, and Dominion's the bad side, and they both have a series of races, and they
are working together but they're both wanting to solve, like, the mysteries and kind of benefit from finding this planet.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know the exact lore behind each side. I haven't read up on that, but it's pretty much Dominion is the bad side, Exile's supposed to be the good side.
I got you. And these Dominion guys, the art style in this game is awesome. Like, it's very stylized. They look like snooty a-holes, man. So I can't see playing them, because it's like, have you ever seen The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the main British guy who's like burning down houses? You kind of play somebody like him, but that looks more of a jerk. So
yeah,
it doesn't appeal to me, but some people love that.
A Cassian, if I'm remembering correctly, which is one of the Dominion races. The other one that you see a lot is the Draken, the big horned dudes. But yeah, they definitely have an attitude. It's pretty interesting.
Well, those guys can take their tea and drink it with their crumpets somewhere else. I'm going to play in Exile. And this is something that's kind of cool. I don't know anything about the races except for the fact that you can play a girl with bunny ears. Now, I'm not too down with playing a girl. Because it's just, I've never really been interested in playing anything that not like myself, but bunny ears, maybe. Because I've been kind of drifting towards that feminine side based on Terra recently.
Mm.
So maybe with the bunny ears and the cutesiness, might be convinced.
Yeah, they look interesting. It's definitely one of the furry, like what would people would call the furry class, but they look, well, the site describes them as small but scrappy, and I like that, scrappy. It reminds me of, like, I don't know. It reminds me of what, if I was in fantasy, I would be a scrappy guy. I'm not a beefcake that can wield a two-handed sword. I'm not really intellectual enough to, consider myself a mage. as cool as that would be, I'd be like a trickster. And I like that aspect of the Orin.
Now, there's in the game, I believe there's defined roles like with other games, so like healer, support, DPS, tank. Is that the case?
I haven't played the game, so this is the big question for me, is like how does the game play itself? Because that's going to be telling on how well it does, I think. But their classes are set up like that. At least the four that have been revealed so far is Warrior, Spellslinger, Stalker, and Esper. And Warrior's Warrior, Spellslinger is, you know, your mage-like character. Stalker's your rogue-like character. And then the Esper's, they describe it as kind of an illusionist who uses psychic weapons and is about debuffs and aiding your team. So a priest, in a sense.
Right.
So I think we're going to, it depends on what the other two classes, they're probably going to be hybrids of some sort. But yeah, it's going to feel, I imagine there's going to be a Trinity aspect to this, which I think is nice. I like the Trinity.
Me too. I was just going to say that because one of the biggest criticisms against Guild Wars 2 was that they did away with that. And then in Dungeons, it's very chaotic. Mm-hmm. And I a lot of people criticize the Trinity. I think though that it serves its purpose. It works well. And there's not a good enough solution to not have the Trinity right now. So hopefully they bring that in because, shoot, man, I like being a tank. That's like what I do in games.
And
now,
I'm the same way with healers, so.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other interesting things this game is doing, and I kind of want to pick your brain on a few of them because I didn't know a whole lot about this game before this week. I mean, there is the big launch announcement flurry of interviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. One of the most prominent aspects of this game is the four gameplay paths, and it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. So there's the explorer, the soldier, the scientist, and the settler. Now, each one of those is supposed to represent, I believe, an aspect of Bartle's, what's the name of it? It's Richard Bartle. He's a game developer from years ago, made the first mod, and broke players down into four paths, mm-hmm. a social player, a killer, an explorer, and an achiever, right? Mm-hmm. I think so. These all represent those. So explorer, from what I understand, is the main mechanic. You'll have like a beacon and you have to locate different parts of the game. And by locating them, like let's say it's the top of this cliff, like you have to do like a jumping puzzle to get up to it. And then when you're there, you'll get some reward, be it XP, or they even say like temporary access to certain dungeons, or the landscape will change, you'll trigger events and things like that. Or in the videos, they have tunnels opening up in the ground, so you get to see things other players don't.
Yeah.
Soldiers, your killer class, scientist. Scientist is kind of nebulous right now, but Jeremy Gaffney, he's the executive producer on the game, gave an example. He says, if you're a scientist, and this is a thing where you're looking at irradiated jungle cats. He says, if you're a scientist, you notice some animals are irradiated. You get a bonus for scanning them and unlock a mission to find out exactly what's irradiating them. Yeah. So you kind of scan and find out lore and the environment. Settler, on the other hand, is the social sphere. So they give the example of setting down a picnic and everyone there gets a strength buff, but you get a much, much larger buff for being the one to set the picnic. This is very interesting because typically games only cater to certain play styles, or they'll go for two, like PvP, PvE, mm-hmm. and ignore the others. So like when you look at this, what's your take on that? It's a big task, it seems.
This has a lot of promise to it, but I'm also wary because it hasn't been defined, at least from my knowledge, exactly how these play out. And there's two questions that I have about it at first is, one, are we locked into these roles for leveling? So if I choose Explorer, does that mean that I'll never get to, unless I create another character, I can't experience like what the scientist does? Or can I mix and match as I'm leveling up? Because it's cool that they have these paths that cater to you, but at some point, like, why not allow players to do all of these things?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a sense of direction and stuff, and a lot more theme park in that regard. For players that like that direction, but as someone who doesn't have the time to make a ton of alts anymore, I want to know if that's a possibility.
I'm with you in the idea of being locked in. Like I can't see how they would do that, because let's say you get tired of exploring at some point. Like, I mean, in all of these have to have some element of killing other creatures, I think. So there has to be overlap at very least with the soldier.
You completely just reminded me. The other aspect that I'm also curious about is how much of your progression does this define? Because if I'm an explorer and I'm doing stuff where I'm running around, checking out each zone, and then moving on to the next one, and that's how I'm leveling up, I think that's pretty cool that you can take that one note and use it to level through something. I don't have to do a ton of like kill quests on the side as well. But there's also the potential that this is these paths act like tours, class missions, where you do a bunch of other stuff that everyone's doing, and then you get one or two of these things in every zone that, you know, caters to your path.
Well, so. And that's my fear. Like we had Sip, Justin Sip Olivetti on the last episode. We were talking about Camelot Unchained, mm-hmm. and a lot of the promises that you hear. And we got talking about marketing, and that's my fear. Like these paths, people conceptualize as like, wow, you can do this all the way to the end game. And if you can, that's great. But I think the reality is probably a lot more likely to be where you're talking about, because that was my thought. Is you get four paths, that's four separate paths to endgame that need to have specific content designed for them, at least in some ways. Mm-hmm. You know, like the explorer, the underground networks and stuff you get to explore, special dungeons, like all that takes development time, and people want to be able to experience the whole game. So,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see where that kind of leads.
And like, how do you work in? I mean, dungeons and stuff are one way, but they're touting their, I'm gonna forget the name of it. It's a specific type of tell that's on the ground, basically where AoEs are going to be.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like highlights the ground in red and you mm-hmm. jump out of it. And yeah.
So they have this, this system going in, and if I'm an explorer and pretty much just running around exploring stuff, am I really engaging in the rest of the systems of the game? So that's why I wonder if like, and this is something you got to think about with every MMO that promises you something. Like, they're using that language specifically for a reason. They don't create these press things and these videos without thinking about this stuff ahead of time. And there's a reason that it's a little bit vague, because there's some element there that may not be totally, people may not like or something. And you don't want to sell your game on those things. So,
right.
It'll be interesting to see how that system really turns out being. I'll be a little disappointed if it's just piecemeal in each zone.
Yeah.
I think it will be cooler if they've like designed these paths to be complete experiences that kind of tie into your other class choice and stuff.
You know what I thought was interesting, kind of tying into that, is that they're not going to have, well, I take that back. They are going to have dynamic events, but they're not really playing that up. And there was a quote I read from a 10 Ton Hammer interview where Gaffney had mentioned, you know, yeah, we're going to have them, but people are going to level through these zones so quick, they're not going to know what's dynamic and what's not. So they're going to have things like that. But following Guild Wars 2, I wonder if that's not an example of Guild Wars dynamic event system letting people down a little bit, like, because it's, I mean, we all knew like Guild Wars, like they could claim dynamic, but at some level it's all programmed in. So like this game, they're like, yeah, we're going to have it. There's going to be interesting things to do that are timed, but more of what they're pushing is content layering, mm-hmm. which is really kind of cool. Like, and that ties into this thing they call momentum mechanics. So you describe combat where the mobs are projecting where they're going to attack on the ground. Quest momentum though, is where you're, let's say, killing mobs for a quest giver, you kill them fast enough, all of a sudden a challenge triggers to kill X amount of mobs in certain seconds for a reward. Or they say randomly spawning instances or quest hubs based on what you do, or finding discovery hubs with random gear or temporary access to dungeons, like all this kind of stuff, just really kind of neat. I like that random element mm-hmm. to the questing. It's, I think like in a post-WoW world, we've all gotten really used to kind of the roteness of like A to B to C to E, and to add a little bit of variety into that, I mm-hmm. think is really cool. And that's to me what's most promising thus far.
Yeah. And I take it with a grain of salt. I think that's a great marketing line that we're not playing up our dynamic events. We just have them. But I think in an element, people get in trouble for saying, like, a classic example is Rift, saying that they have dynamic events. And those events can be dynamic, where invasions go and stuff are are dynamic enough, but how those events spawn and where rifts spawn up aren't necessarily dynamic. They're more dynamic than what we're used to, but they're not necessarily dynamic by definition. And that's where that semantic of marketing really starts to piss people off. And in this, I hope that it would be more and truly random, but I get a sense that at some point players are going to be playing this game and figure out the tricks to get certain things. And then when everyone figures that stuff out, it's no longer a dynamic experience. It's, you know, the steps you need to do to create these events. Well, and so
it's all temporary, but I think one of the biggest values of just trying new ideas, and, you know, marketing speak is its own entity, but when you get in the game, if it can trick you even for a little while into feeling refreshing. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah,
it's refreshing, and it kind of breathes life into this hobby. Like, it's, yeah, this is different from Rift. This is different from LOTRO or any of these other games. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping they can pull that off.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely.
We're running short on time. There's a few other points on WildStar that I did want to bring up. One of them, I know you used to raid, and WildStar is bringing back 40-man raiding, and I can't help but just shake my head a little bit. Like, there's this subset of people out there that are like, yeah, 40-man raids. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here thinking there's a reason why there's not 40-man raids anymore. Yeah. And I don't know what exactly their answer is going to be apart from that. So, like, did you catch that when you were reading these notes?
Yeah, I did. I think it's really interesting to bring back a 40-man raid. I'm not sure how well that will do. There's a huge nostalgia fact for people like myself who were starting to raid back in vanilla WoW and things, and going to Molten Core and just seeing so many people attacking one thing. It was great. But there's also a reason that we started, you know, fake DCing. It's because after 4.5 hours of doing some of this content, it sucked. And getting all those people to work together sucked.
And a drama it created
as a guild leader is just, it's terrible. And so it will be interesting to see what their content's like. Like, what is their content doing that makes 40 man the number? So it'll be interesting to see. It could be
cool. it seems like a nostalgia throwback a little bit, and there's no doubt you get 40 people all working at one goal. It's epic, it's cool, but it's hard to arrange, and it's a nightmare for the people doing it. And the fact that that's the only rating we know about. There's not going to be 10 mans. And in the article that I had read, they said there's going to be 40 mans, and for everyone else, there's dungeons, which people aren't going to be happy with, I don't think, because not only is 40 mans hard to manage, it's hard to line up 40 people's schedules. So if you want to do that, you need to line up with 39 other people. Like, that's exclusionary in a lot of ways.
Let's also take into account that we're defining a raid based off our previous experiences. The raid in this game could be more like a tower defense scenario where you're thrust in against armies and you have a list of objectives and a time limit and get it done. And it results with mini bosses that pop up when you finish certain objectives, and everyone has to work together to take that down, which gives a much more organic, like, I'm going to hop in and do a raid right now with, you know, a bunch of random people, rather than the necessity to be in a guild and organizing it before you even walk in the instance.
True. And there's also the content layering aspect of raid bosses just spawning, like open mm-hmm. world raid bosses. So it's conceivable. Like, they give an example of, you have like a 1% chance when you're mining a mineral node that a giant monster is going to jump out of the ground and you'll have to take it down and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, this could, it could wind up working. There's a lot to be seen, mm-hmm. and I think it'll be really cool. And I think one thing we have to give to these guys is they're trying innovative ideas. They're doing new stuff. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt for sure. It's just like, wow, by just labeling it 40-man raiding, they're setting up expectations of people, and it'll be real interesting to see how they answer those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there's that. That's about it. One other last point here. Can we do away with the term sand park? That is just the stupidest term ever. I hate that sand park.
Can we just make everyone happy? That's what that term tells me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so that's it, WildStar. We're going to keep an eye on it, and if more stuff comes out, you know, we'll be talking about it here. Next week, we'll probably talk to Adam and see if he's tickled pink for it or if he's a Neverwinter devotee. If you check out Epic Slant, he had a nice post up there about his experiences in the beta weekend. But Gavin, thank you, sir, for talking WildStar with me. Let's take a break. Want to take a break?
Sure.
Dr. Classy here again to ask for your aid once more. Out there in the wilds, there's so much evil and death, and monsters that don't even have a home to call their own. We here at Labyrinths for Inhumanity are dedicated to building complex death trap-filled dungeons for our homeless evil brethren. Just because he's a rotting corpse doesn't mean he doesn't have feelings. Isn't that right, rotting corpse? Join us in building these labyrinthian dungeons to use as their homes and bases, so they may store themselves and their treasures until an adventure inevitably arrives to slaughter the inhabitants in a glorified home invasion. Labyrinths for Inhumanity, because all those dungeons have to come from somewhere.
Okay, thank you everybody for holding with me there, and thank you Dr. Classy for giving us our always enjoyable insert. And it's time for Quick Hits! I don't know where that came. It reminded me of Mortal Kombat. Do you remember in the Super Nintendo days when the guy would pop up in the corner and be like, Quip City?
I do not remember that at all. I was not a Mortal Kombat fan. I can't stand fighting games. I get my ass kicked every time.
I failed at it too.
The only time I was great at Mortal Kombat was on a Sega Game Gear, where they had the bug in Mortal Kombat where if you went to the side of the screen and high kicked, you could kill every boss in the game with it.
My tactic in those games, it was one note. It was kneel and uppercut, and you could get through so much of that yes. game just by doing that. But I always played them because of the fatalities, man. Like eventually I would always lose, but I would just the little demented sociopathic elementary school Chris
they've built on that so much. Like the new stuff is terrible. I'm just waiting for the day where they put like a spray water dispenser on that so you can feel the blood spraying on you as you're doing that.
Well, so quick hits. You know, we got very distracted there.
Sorry. That was my quick hit, Mortal Kombat.
Well, this week I've been playing a lot of Terra, and I am liking that game. I didn't think I would like it, but I'm digging it, man. Like I'm early enough in the game, but that combat system thus far trumps Guild Wars. Like heads and tails, I think, at Trump's Guild Wars, just for that action fan in me. But you have so much more experience. Like, what's your hook? Is it the combat like it is for me?
No, it's definitely the combat. And I always say this to people when they ask me, like, hey, how's Terra's combat? What's it play like? And I'm like, well, the closest thing I can put it to is playing Planetside 2, in the sense that it is fun and really great on your own. But as you progress in the game, it becomes a little repetitive. You're starting to do the same moves, the same dodges and stuff in a row. And the BAMs in the game, which is their short acronym for big ass monsters, they definitely add some dynamic change to how you fight and move, which is great. But you're not fighting them all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like Planetside in the sense that when you have a group of friends working together to do quests and stuff, it is an amazing experience, a lot of fun. However, you pretty much kill 10 rats all the way through that game.
Oh yeah, immediately. When I first jumped in, there's like the main storyline quest that kind of drives you through, find Elyon, and then it's like immediately like, hey, go kill these things, collect these things. But thus far, it hasn't really bothered me that much.
No.
It's the action kind of keeps some more into it, but I could see how that would get repetitive.
Yeah, I mean, the action in the game is great, and when you get to share it with people, it's even better. It's definitely a game, and now that it's free to play, worth checking out. I think some people get really tired of it, but if you're just in for the mood for some combat, some great combat, and you're sitting down, it has pretty seamless controller support, and you can just hop in and brawl around with some friends and make some cool characters and stuff.
Yeah, and I like that dodging can happen more often. Like, I never feel limited in my ability to dodge like I felt in Guild Wars 2, which in some ways can make it feel... I could imagine people saying, oh, that's game breaking this, but it's playing with the controller, and that's how I do it, feels a lot more akin to playing just an old fashioned action game.
Yeah.
And that's what I like in this MMO world, and it's beautiful, and their free to play model is fantastic.
Dude. Yeah, it is.
And boob physics. Have you noticed this?
I try not to stare at the boob physics, although I do have a girl buddy who could not help but mention her boobs in the game. It is quite ridiculous, the outfits females wear in that game.
I had a buddy over yesterday, and I was like, oh man, you gotta check this out. It's like fun. And we're sitting there, and I'm going up to this quest giver, and it's, you know, a scantily clad female, as they all are. And I was kind of zoomed in, showing him the graphics and everything. And as I get this quest, and she's standing still, and all of a sudden her boobs just like kind of bounce and wave.
It takes sexuality to another level.
Terra does not have the best history when it comes to their visual graphics and controversy. So,
hey, well, in fairness, the dudes in that game are packing socks in their pants, too. I mean, it's everybody in that game.
You know, I do hear a lot of people mention that this is the first game that truly sexualizes the male characters as well. And it's true. I mean, some of the stuff that even high elf males wear, Castanic males wear, is just like they're pretty much strippers just alongside the women. So guess equality? I don't know.
I think it's just something you kind of have to laugh at. Like, I'm sitting there playing, like, I have a Pupori, which are gigantically fat creatures that you can make any kind of furry in the world. So I'm playing this gigantically fat husky dog staring at this quest giver's boobs flouncing in my face, or such and such guy in their leather pants pointing at me.
Oh,
well, anyway, so that's my quick hit. Did you have...
If you like being a pervert or action combat, this game is for you.
One of the two. It's all about immaturity over on my end. Did you have a quick hit you wanted to share?
You know, I don't. Off the top of my head, sorry.
Well, I'm going to insert a quick hit in terms of some pigeon activity we had earlier on where we had to cut recording.
And they sit there and they're just like, ooh, ooh. Over and over and over again.
Oh, pigeons. Dang. Sexy, sexy pigeons.
Freaking pigeons. You don't know the pain of my life.
Well, I believe that about makes a show, man. Is there anything you wanna plug or point people to that you're working on?
You know, not right now. Like I said, I'm in the midst of working towards my degree. That's my focus right now.
Well, where can people tweet?
So you can find me on Twitter at Gavin Townsley. It's at GAVINTOWNSLEY. I'm on there pretty frequently. I'm a big Twitter nerd, so.
In the meantime, guys, you can find us over at mmoradio.epicslantpress.com. Anywhere you see one of our show posts, leave a comment, get in touch with us. And from all of us to all of you, thank you as always for listening.
Wait. I do have a plug.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
From all of us to all of you, here's Gavin's plug.
I play occasionally a bunch of board games online. We do pen and paper sometimes online with some old WoW guildies of mine that have set up a small gaming community, but they're looking to grow. Great crew of people. It's at dragonstiertavern.com. And if you go there, register, make a post on the forums or whatnot, and tell them either Gavin or Panda sent you, that'd be awesome. Because it's a great community. And like right now we're playing, if people are unfamiliar with this, it's called Big Eye Small Mouth, which is a pen and paper based in the anime world. And we are loving it. We do Cards Against Humanity, zombies.
Hold on. Pen and paper in the anime world?
Yeah.
So, is this like on forums?
No, this is like we get together on Vent and, you know,
what?
A pen and paper campaign together, and it's really dang fun. It's completely nerdy, I agree, but we have so much fun doing it.
It sounds like fun. And do any of you guys ever actually do that, though, the anime noises? Because I'm playing Persona 4 Golden right now, and it is terrible, the overacting. Just the random bits of...
I'm an incredible geek for anime, and I almost wish people would make those kinds of expressions in real life, because it makes this thing funny.
My eyes would be the size of tea saucers.
But only if you're screaming in, you know, joy or something.
When I'm nervous, one drop of sweat will pop off my temple.
Yeah, that's so good. Anyway, so dragonsteertavern.com, great group of people. And you can find me on there.
Well, thank you very much for joining me, Gavin. Again, thanks, everybody. And Adam, we're looking forward to having you back next week.
Congrats, Adam.
Woo. Yeah, congrats, Adam. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to MMO Radio. Please consider sending us a note on Twitter at FeralES or at GameByNight. You may also leave a voice message by calling 336-505-9501. You might just end up on the show. We would greatly appreciate comments and ratings in iTunes or on our website at mmoradio.epicslamppress.com. This is Dr. Classy signing off, and winter is coming. Or already has. Whatever.